Good morning and welcome. Really, really good to see you this morning as we celebrate this amazing day. Probably the most amazing special day of the year for me, I think, Easter. I love it. It's great to see so many people here, and especially as we've got the baptism of Dave and Jess a little bit later on. If you're visiting today, please really, really relax, okay? I can see a few visitors, family around especially, but there's others around as well. There are no big rules or anything at this church. We just want you to come, be part of everything, and enjoy yourselves, okay? And enjoy what's going on. So it's really great to see you this morning. We're going to have a short message later on. We've also got some story from Dave and Jess. Are going to share a bit about themselves. I'm going to say a little bit about what baptism's all about. And if you'd like to stay behind afterwards, there's refreshments in the canteen. And Sally Petit is going to be doing a special Easter dance. So don't miss that, anyone. There is one Easter tradition which I've been told I have to do, whatever happens, okay? And this is because of Angela Barnard, and so you might not be familiar with it, but all I do is I say, Christ is risen, and you say, he is risen indeed. Oh, so you know it, it's good. Okay, let's try that again, with a bit of enthusiasm. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's great, brilliant. Okay, I was reading this morning from John 11, and I just wanted to share this with you. This is when Martha was talking to Jesus about Lazarus who died, and you might know the story. Jesus actually brings Lazarus back to life again. And obviously she's really distressed. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in me? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. What an amazing thing to happen, to have Jesus say to you, do you believe in me? I'm the resurrection and the life. I can give you eternal life. Do you believe in me? And this reaction from Martha saying, yes, I believe in you. Brilliant. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day when we especially remember your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for every Sunday when we get together and think about who you are and what you've done, that this story isn't restricted to one day of the year. Lord, we thank you for every day that you're living in us, that you're alive, that you've beaten death. Lord, we just pray that we'd know you with us this morning. Amen. So give thanks for the offering, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much on this day, particularly again when we just think of you risen from the dead. We think of your offering for us, an offering which we could never, ever even match, come near, Lord, that you gave Jesus, your only son, because you loved us so much. Lord, these things we give you, this money we give you, Lord, it's just such a small thing, and it's incredible to think that you, as Almighty God, would even be interested in our money. In this that we bring you. But Lord, we thank you that you love it. We thank you this is something which you will use for your kingdom. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless it and do good things through it. Amen. Okay, I said that I was going to explain a little bit about baptism, and I'm going to need one or two people just to help me a little bit. I need a couple of strong blokes. Actually, let's go for a strong bloke and a strong woman. Why do it that way? Okay, so let's have someone who's about... Oh, I don't know. Who should I pick? I'm looking over that way. Anyone want to come and help me? Neo, good man. Come on. Who else? I need a lady to help me. Come on. Who else? Chris, you put your hand up. No? Okay. Sally Petit, come and give me a hand. Come on, show us your muscles. Could you come and get a hold of this for us? And if you can just bring it forward for us a little bit. If you grab that side, Sal, bring it out this way. Okay, this is the first thing we're going to think about with baptism. If you look in your Bible, if you want to, I'm not going to read it now, but Romans 6, there's a book called Romans, and there's a little bit in there, chapter 6, explains a bit about baptism really well, and we're thinking about some of those verses. And this is our cross for the church, one of the crosses. Now, you might have noticed, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there's something missing from our cross. Anyone like to tell me what they think is missing from our cross? Anyone feeling brave? Steve? Josh?
Nails?
Nails, that's a good thought. Nails could be missing from the cross. I've actually got some nails there. That wasn't what I had in mind. Anyone else? Go on.
The name that was put on the top.
The sign for the King of the Jews. That isn't what I was thinking of. That's a good one, though. Anyone else? One more? Let's go over.
Jesus!
Good one. Thank you, Ray. Well done, Ray. You got there. Jesus. Jesus is missing from our cross. There's a good reason for that, and I was in Prague recently, and I went to the cathedral there, and everywhere I looked, every cross in the cathedral had Jesus on it, and I found it slightly oppressive. The first kind of 5 minutes, you don't think much of it, then by the time I'd been all the way around, I thought, oh, something uncomfortable about this. But on Good Friday, we spent some time at the church thinking about Jesus on the cross, and it was amazing to spend that time just to be reminded that Jesus actually died for me. And for a moment, I'm going to say, forget you lot. In that moment in the church, I had that moment where I remembered Jesus loved me so much. He does love you as well. But just that personal thing that he loves each one of us, that actually he would die to take away the stuff which is rubbish, the stuff which we know we all get wrong. And that was the price that had to be paid, that Jesus died for us. So actually, as Dave and Jess get into the water later on, we think about how actually putting their old life to death, putting the old life behind them, the stuff which is rubbish, how Jesus has taken that and paid for it on the cross. So that's the first thing we think about. You can put the cross back towards the back there. Thank you. Okay, I wonder, has anybody ever done one of these time capsule things where you put a load of stuff in a capsule or a tin and then you bury it in the ground? Anyone? Does anyone know what I'm talking about even? Josh, thank you, Josh. That's right, I thought I was going mad. Okay, so when you bury something, Josh, what's the idea? Just tell me how that works in a few words. You stick something in the ground.
So that people can find it in the future and know what you have like.
I'm feeling really guilty, Josh, for picking on you this morning. That's the first time I've seen you and I've come running over and picked on you. That's brilliant. That is what we do, isn't it? So you stick something in the ground and the idea is you forget about it. And that's the general thing. You just leave it there. And when we think about baptism again, you'll see that Dave and Jess, they will go right underneath the water. And we'll hold them there for 4 or 5 minutes. And then, no, we'll just hold them. But when they go right underneath that, we think about that as burial, going right under the ground. And it's, again, this idea of leaving the old past behind you. It's gone, forgotten, buried. It's not to say that everything we've ever done is rubbish. We all do loads of good stuff, don't we? But there's a part of our lives which it would be good to leave behind, buried. So finally, oh, I did bring a chocolate egg with me for this bit because it's always popular. Anyone want a chocolate egg? Tim, first hand up. Come on, Tim. Come and help me. You're not allowed it just yet. Oh, there you are. Okay. Wait for it. A chocolate egg. He knows me too well. Okay, when we look at a new egg, I've given something away. When we look at an egg, anything you think of in particular, apart from chocolate, what does an egg represent?
A chicken.
A chicken, maybe. And what comes from the chicken?
A chick. No.
An egg. And then, are we getting there? What comes from the egg?
Chick.
A chick. Whew, I think it's me. So the egg, actually, we might forget what an Easter egg's all about because we love the chocolate so much. But an egg represents new life. And that's what we think about. Another thing you can think about sometimes. Do you want to open that one up for us, Tim? Can you try and carefully crack it down the middle? Carefully. Okay, go on. Keep going. It's not going to... Oh! Tim, the good news is there are some more eggs out the back at the end. Perhaps I'll just... We'll get that later on. Okay. You can have that bit, Tim. The other thing is about an egg, it's hollow, it's empty, usually, unless it's got Smarties inside. But then you take the good bits out. And we think about the egg being a bit like a tomb, Jesus' tomb, that was empty when he came out of it. Tim, go and have a seat. You've been fantastic. Give Tim a clap, please. Brilliant. So my favourite bit about baptism, the favourite part of the story, is the fact that we don't actually leave them buried under there for good. Actually, there's a new life. They come up out of the water. We think about Jesus' resurrection as they come up out of the water. And so that's kind of what baptism's about in simple terms. Good way of thinking about it. It's not too hard, is it? Death, burial and resurrection. It all ties in so well with Easter, which is why it's such a good day for it. Okay, Dave and Jess, you are going to come and share with us now a little bit of your story, how you got here. I think it was Jess going first, or Dave. I think you were going first, were you?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, all. For anyone who doesn't know me here, my name is David Morton, and I've been attending Welbourne Baptist Church for about 2.5 years now, and this is where I've seen my relationship with God developing. So, first of all, I just want to say I'm really grateful to my parents, Annette and Gary, also my grandparents who are here today, Valerie and Don, who have supported me with wisdom and advice the entire way, so massive thank you to them. Also, really quick, really want to say a huge thank you to my friends, all my friends who've been supporting me through all of this, everywhere they are. And also, lastly, especially to Helen, my lovely girlfriend, who has been there through love, care and encouragement. So thank you. Right, so a bit about my background. Until the age of 10, we regularly attended another church. However, due to personal reasons, we eventually left and stopped going. 8 years passed, however, and in those, I occasionally supported my grandma with her church up in Rivlington. However, at the time, I never truly felt connected to God. However, when I started at university in Newquay, I found my faith through what some people might know as a Damascus moment, a sudden realization. So I was finding it very difficult to adapt to the independent lifestyle of university. And a particular negative experience left me quite vulnerable and really struggling to cope. However, that night, a friend found me and suggested that I join him at church, the local church, because he was doing something called church surfing, so trying out loads of different churches. So, reluctantly, but I gave in and I tried it out. The first day at church was quite alien, and it felt very different growing up, and where there was the organs and the pipes and the prayer books, and then walking into practically a light show concert was a little bit different. However, I don't let a first experience faze me. I tried again the next week. So the next week, I was invited to the evening session, which was the Holy Spirit night. And there, the pastor said to all of those who were weary, weak, and alone, whether they wanted to be healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, although sceptical, I had nowhere else to turn. I was alone. My family were hundreds of miles away. I barely knew anyone. Where else? So I knelt down at the front of the church, and I prayed for respite and healing. God, I have no one else to turn to. I give up. Please, fill the cracks in my heart so I could be whole again. Now, at that moment, I felt what I know, and a few people have heard my testimony before. This is only a small amount, but the best way I could describe it was liquid gold was poured over me. And that's a really somewhat painful feeling if it was that kind of metal. But no, it was just pure, absolutely pure. And all the pain, hurt, and the anxiety was just washed from me. It was fantastic. And moments later, I was just jumping around, dancing. It was just, I was on top of the world. So since then, I've been committed to building up my faith in God. I've attended several churches and been trying out several courses along the way, such as Alpha. So anyone who doesn't know what Alpha is, check it out. It's awesome. And that also now leads me to where I am today. So here at Welton, where I've been around, making myself known for, like I said, 2.5 years, and earning the reputation Dave the Hat. Now, I deem myself as a man of science. I believe in what I can see, touch, and hear. Now, God has proved to me that instead he works in his own way, and I was witness to one of his miracles. Now I was saved, which is brilliant. I had experienced unrivaled love and joy. And that night, I had given my life to Christ, and I declared Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, and that I am a son of God. So to keep on building up my strength, I knew that baptism was the way forward. Bit cold. Should be all right. And I now feel it is the right time to take take on and share my story with everyone here today. So as I end my testimony here, I just wanted to also share that I feel that where God could be leading me. So to most people who know me, I'm aspiring to be a marine biologist. And I know that my future is full of opportunity, risks, and potential. But with this, I declare that Jesus Christ is my captain, and I will let him govern my path through calm and through the storm. Thank you.
Good. Okay, great. Thanks, Dave. That's fantastic. In a minute, when Dave gets baptized, actually, we'll pray for him then, because what's really good is that just as he comes up out of the water, we'll have a song, and then there's an opportunity for anyone to pray. So don't feel like you can. It's not a bunch of special people praying for Dave. We'll pray for him then. So if you take your seat for a moment, Dave, and we'll baptize you in a moment. Just to say that this baptistry, there isn't anything magical about it. It's not, you'll know that by looking at it. But you know, the water's not amazing. This is the story of what God's done in Dave's life and what God has done in Jess's life. And this is their way of just showing something, taking a step. So there's nothing amazing about that water. Where's Jess? Jess, come on up. Let's hear your story.
Hi, my name is Jess. I'm 9 years old and I've been coming to Welton for 3.5 years since we moved here from Essex. Matt said I could say as much as I want to, so you may be here for a while. My mum and dad, Mark and Amanda, have taught me about Jesus and have been reading the Bible and praying with me since I was born. I enjoy dancing and singing to worship music, and sometimes I can feel Jesus singing and dancing with me. Jesus and the love of God has always seemed real to me. 3 Enfests ago, Mike, our pastor at the time, asked me if I had given my life to Jesus, and I said no, not really knowing what it meant. Mike explained that God loved me so much and he wanted a friendship with me. The only problem is that God is a holy God and cannot stand sin, the wrong things that I do, and it separates me from him. I had not done any really bad things, but even the small things, like being mean to my sister Becky or being rude or disobedient to my parents, was sin. Good news, though, Jesus could take away my sin. He died on the cross in my place and bled for me. His blood takes away my sin. Sounds a bit weird, but I know it works. I decided that I wanted to give my life to God. Mike helped me to pray something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross and taking away my sin. I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. I choose today to give my life to you and for you to change me. Amen. I cannot remember changing a lot, but I know I made the choice. I know God is real and I've seen him answer so many prayers. My nana had celiac disease for many years. It's a wheat allergy. If she ate any bread or even cakes or sauces, she would get very sick. One day in our old church about 7 years ago, our friend Wayne stood up and said that he believed that there was someone in church today who had a stomach problem and that God wanted to heal them. My grandparents were visiting that week and my nana felt it was for her. She got my dad after church and said, could you get Wayne to pray for her? They prayed for her together and she went home and tried eating small amounts of food that would normally make her ill. She was not ill. Now she eats whatever she wants. She told a doctor that God had healed her and he would not believe it. He said it's incurable. He sent her for tests and the results said that she does not have it anymore. The doctor could not believe it. Also, my dad had problems for years where his fingers and hands were always splitting and bleeding. Me and my sister would lay on his hands at night before we went to bed and pray for them. God healed them. His hands are amazing now. It hasn't always been easy following Jesus. He does not always make you popular. At school in class, we were doing Buddhism. We were being taught how to meditate as a Buddhist. I felt uncomfortable inside. I'm not happy to sit in a yoga position and think of floating up like a balloon into another world. I wanted to say something, but was a bit frightened. I counted down from 10 about 4 times and then stood up. There was no turning back now. I said to my teacher that I come from a Christian family and I'm not very happy about this type of meditation. She said I could read a book instead, which is what I did. I felt proud of myself for standing up in what I believe in. Other difficult things were forgiving people. At school, there was a girl being mean to a very good friend of mine, Freya, who is here today. I could see that Freya was upset when she told me that what had happened. I was very angry and wanted to hate the girl. My parents explained that Jesus tells us that we need to forgive people that hurt us. I said that she has not even said sorry yet. They said it does not make any difference. We need to forgive, even if they never say sorry. I found it hard, but I made the choice and forgave her. The next day, I had nicer feelings towards the girl. I know God speaks to me, even though I do not always realise it at the time. Example, in bed one night, I was looking across the room at a Bible and decided I wanted to read the whole thing from beginning to the end. So I got it and started reading from Genesis. My mum had felt for a while that as parents, they should read the Bible to me and Becky over 2 years. She had already printed out a reading plan and she was wanting to start reading it to us from the same night. It went well to start with, but it got a bit hard going in the book of Numbers, so we stopped. We should start again. I tell my non-church friends and family about knowing God when I get the opportunities. When I'm older, I want to be a hairdresser, but also a dancer, as I love to dance. I want to use dance to show people that you can use anything to show that you love God. The reason I'm getting baptized today is that I've been thinking about it for a long time, especially in the last few months. I want to make a stronger connection with God, and I believe that is what he is asking me to do. I want to carry on getting closer to him for the rest of my life. I want to continue doing what he tells me. I have chosen the song Reckless Love today, as it talks about how there is no shadow God won't light up, no mountain he won't climb up, there is no wall he won't kick down, no lie he won't tear down, he just comes after me. There is nothing that I can do to make him love me more. I love that about God.
Well done, Jess. That is fantastic, isn't it? That is a brilliant, brilliant story. So amazing. You know, there's a bit in the Bible that says they've been filled with the Spirit. Why shouldn't they be baptized? Jesus tells us to be baptized. So this is brilliant. Shall we get on with it? Shall we get in the pool? Okay. There's a few people crying around the room. I can see it good. Oh, I'll keep myself together. Matt, do you want to grab the mic for us because you're one of them?
It's such a joy, isn't it, hearing these stories of what God is doing. I wonder if, just as these guys are getting ready, I wonder if on your way here this morning or during this first half an hour together, you've been just a little bit struck by what's God doing in my life. A bunch of us were praying earlier on this morning, and we had this really strong sense that God is here with us. And it's not just about Dave and Jess this morning. It's about actually all of us encountering God. So I'd encourage you. Be open to what God might be wanting to say and do in your life this morning. Matt's got that look of, I am freezing, but I'm not going to let anybody know. It is very cold. Okay. All right, now we're not going to give you a second warning, all right? What we're going to do is, once we've baptized Jess... if you want to stand up at the back, that's completely fine. We're totally relaxed. You don't have to kind of be like sat in pews. Any of you guys who are younger, kids, youth, you might want to come down and fill this space here. Those of you that know the Fairweather family and you love them, get yourselves down here right now because we're going to pray for them, all right? We'll pass the microphone round. Going to be short prayers of faith. But it may be as well that God gives you a Bible verse or he gives you a real sense for Jess's future. And we want you to pray that. Pray it out in faith, okay? So come straight away. When she comes up out of the water, we're going to sing just the chorus of a song and then we're going to go for it. We're going to pray for Jess, all right? Okay, so anybody that wants to come and pray, as soon as she's been baptized, make your way down.
Yeah. This water hasn't been heated. Straight from the cold tap. Jess, we've heard your testimony, but we ask you the question anyway. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And professing your faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful young lady standing in front of us. We thank you for her pure love for you. We just pray, Lord, that you will keep loving her, that she'll keep growing in you, that she will keep sharing her faith with those around her, and that she will just be that beautiful jewel in your crown. Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for Jess, and I thank you for this stand that she's taken, Lord. Lord, I just feel that you're saying to Jess that she will be a leader in her generation, and you've got great plans for her, and you've got great plans for her working amongst her peers. And Lord, that just so excites me, Lord, and I just thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
I just feel that the children who are around here, as you've heard this other little girl here talk about Jesus and just share her testimony. If you want to pray for her this morning, however small, however big, it's a time that you can step up to and have a go. So I'm just going to pass the mic round for the children. Just, if you don't want to do it, pass it on.
Dear God, help Jess to know that Jesus will always be with her.
Yes.
Help her to share her faith and make her friends know that Jesus is with them too. Amen.
The scripture I have for you, Jess, is from Psalm 18, verse 30, and it says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. And that's the scripture that I had for you on the day that you were born, and I really feel that God wants you to know that his way over your life is perfect, that his words, his promises, they are true for you, and he is a shield and a protection for you. And Father, I just pray that over Jess, Lord, today, God. I pray that she would know, God, more and more in her heart, Lord, that you are who you say you are, Lord God, that your words can be trusted, Lord, and that you are her shield and her protection. Amen.
Yeah. Just, Father, we thank you this morning for your beautiful child, Jessica. We're thankful, Lord, for her decision to be baptized today, showing the church that she loves, trusts, and has put her hope in you, Father. We give thanks that as Jessica came out of the water this morning, signifying a new start, that those old sins have gone, and that she's declaring that you are her personal saviour. We also pray and give thanks and gifts for the Holy Spirit. We give thanks that this is upon Jessica now and ask that it does amazing works in you, Jessica, in the many times in your life to come. Father, we pray for her walk with you and give thanks that you, Lord, will be with her always, through the good and the bad times and the ups and downs. Help her to know your strength throughout her life. Amen.
There was a man in the Old Testament, in the bit that you haven't got to yet, in Judges, but I'm sure Mum and Dad will help you get there, called Gideon. And one day he was really frightened. And the angel of the Lord came down on him, came down and spoke to him and said, you're a mighty warrior, Gideon. And that's what I felt God was saying to you. Even when you're frightened, God is saying, you're a mighty warrior. He went on and did amazing things with God's help, and I believe you will.
I had a similar thing for you, Jess, earlier on when we were praying for you, maybe similar to Judas as well. And there's a verse in the Bible, I'm going to give it to you later on, and it says, do not let anybody look down on you because you're young. But then it goes on, it says, live for God, live out in that gifting that was released to you through the laying on of hands. And we're going to pray one last prayer, and I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to, just to reach out your hand. It's not magic, it's just symbolic, saying, yes, we want the Spirit of God to do everything. He made her, you know that, right? That God made her. He loves her more than anybody else. His hopes for her, they're even bigger than Mark and Amanda's. And so we want to pray that the Spirit of God will fill her, that she will not be in any way intimidated by the world. You're nine, but it's good. God's with you. And so we just say now, Holy Spirit, we agree together as Jess's family. We say, Lord, your best for her, your gifts for her. And we say, Holy Spirit, would you fill her today to overflowing? And we pray that she will not be in any way intimidated by things that maybe other nine-year-olds would find a bit scary. We pray that this young woman will say, my God is with me. He has anointed me. So we say, Holy Spirit, fill her up to overflowing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give her one more round of applause. Come on, Jess. Okay, we've got two out and two in, I think. Where's Rich? Okay, so same again. We're going to sing this chorus as Dave comes up. And as we do that, after we've done that, if you want to pray for Dave, please make your way down. We're going to pray God's best for him.
Dave, it's been great getting to know you a little bit the last couple of years. I'm going to enjoy this. But great to see what God's doing in your life. And do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Then on a confession of faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, fantastic. We're going to pray whatever God's put on your heart. If it's a scripture, something you want to pray for Dave, come, let's do it together.
Dave, brilliant, mate. When I was praying for you about this, God gave me a verse in Isaiah 60 for you. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light arrives. The splendor of the Lord shines upon you." I believe that God is saying that, Dave, you're going to be a man that is going to bring light into dark places, that you will stand up and people will know a truth when you speak, because you speak the truth of Jesus. Amen.
After you gave your testimony, I thought of a song, and it's called Hope's Captain, and this is the little verse of it that spoke to me for you. It says, "Now in the dawn of your grace, your face is all I see. Under the weight of your love, I find peace in your keep. Once death's captive, now held by hope's captain." And that's how I feel for you. Jesus has you. He's your captain, and you've got some smooth sailing ahead of you.
Amen. Lord, I want to thank you for Dave. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that we've had with him in our house group. Lord, thank you for the way that we've seen him grow in you. And Dave, just as I was thinking just now, the scripture came to mind, and I couldn't find it right now, but it says, "My ways are not your ways, says the Lord." And I think God is saying that the way ahead for you is perhaps uncertain at the moment, but it's not always the obvious ways that is the way ahead. So just keep trusting in him, and he will lead.
Dave, I had a picture of the Gherkin building in London, and the verdict's out as to whether it's an attractive building or whether it isn't. And what I think God is saying to you is whether you feel you are attractive or whether you're not. The fact is, the Gherkin building is a wonderful building, and it's there for purpose, and it's the same with you. So it follows on a bit with the scripture that's just been read there. It's not what you look like or what you people feel that you look like or how you think they feel about you, but it's what God is doing in your life and what God has planned for you, and those are wonderful things.
I'd just like to say how excited I am by today, and I'm really looking forward to see what God does in your life, Dave, because compared to 2.5 years ago when you were sitting at the back not really talking to how you are now, what a change. It's amazing.
Similar to John's, just got a passage from Psalm 77. "The waters saw you, Lord. They saw you and writhed. Their very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded in thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Yet your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock." I just get the sense that in the trials and troubles of life, when everything seems to be going wrong, God's leading you, and you might not always see his footprints, but he's leading you.
I know Dave really wanted to get baptised in the sea, but we felt here he could be more of a witness to the rest of us. And I just felt, you know, that we should throw a couple of packets of salt in the water for him. But the more and more, I just felt God was saying to you, Dave, that that you are a man who is a salt in this world, and that you're not frightened to share your faith, and you're bold. And Father, I just ask that you would just let Dave just see fruit from his life amongst those people he's around. I just think he's a guy who cares. He's got that pastoral heart. And God, I just thank you that he goes after people who really need help and support. And I just ask, God, that you just would give him the opportunities just to see people come to know there is a God and a Saviour, Lord, that can really help them in their time of need. And I just ask, God, you just anoint him and fill him with that just gift to be able to share your love to people in a way they'd better receive it. Just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for Dave. I want to thank you for the way that I've seen his love for you grow. And I thank you for the relationship that he has with Helen and their love for each other. And whatever you may have for them in the future, Father, just be with them both really closely. And just may they know that you have the best for them. And so, Father, I just lift them both to you, but particularly Dave today, on this special day for him. Amen.
This morning I shared a verse with Dave. I can't exactly remember it, but it was something along the lines of, we may have plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And I just thought I'd share that and continue praying that, Dave, you will have your job very soon. I know how hard you've been working and that God will guide you there.
Dave, I had the word for you. Just kept on coming back as we've been praying. The word confidence. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to give you a confidence that comes just straight from him. Yeah, I think we love this guy, don't we? And we see this kind of confidence in him. But I think this confidence that comes from God will bring many people to question, is there a God out there? And what's he like? Could we just do that thing again of just saying, we want the Spirit of God to fill this man. So if you're comfortable doing it, just stretch out your hands towards Dave. We just say, Spirit of God, again, you love this man. There's nothing more natural and wonderful than him knowing the presence of God with him. And we pray, Spirit of God, would you give him a confidence that doesn't come from him? He's a great guy, but a confidence that comes from his God, his Father in heaven, who loves him. And so we pray now, Holy Spirit, would you fill him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet? We pray that there would be a confidence that flows, that many men and women and boys and girls will say, what is it about this bloke? There's something about him and his friendship with God that I want to know more about. We thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him one more round of applause. Bless you, Dave. Wonderful. Stories of what God's doing in people's lives are just fantastic, aren't they? We're going to stand together and sing one or two worship songs. We're going to thank God for who he is, what he's doing, not just in their lives, but what he's doing in our lives. So I want to encourage you, as we stand and worship together this morning, just be open. Maybe God wants to speak to you something fresh that you'd not expected this morning. Let's stand together. Amen. Do grab your seats. Thanks so much, Becca and the band. Okay, we're going to be handing out, it's going to be a very short quiz, so we're going to hand out a couple of, some bits of paper with a couple of options. It says possible or impossible. If we get those out as quickly as we can, that'd be great. Where's Alan? Alan? Yes, he's on it. Good man. He gave me that look of, what do you expect? I can only do one at a time. All right, pass them along the rows. There should be some for here and some for here as well. This morning, we're going to think about what's possible. It's an appropriate morning, isn't it, on Easter Day, to think, what is possible in our lives? What's possible in your life? If God is real, if he loves you, if he made you, if he cares about you, what's possible? Quick quiz, all right, we're going to do a trial run, and in a moment you're going to get a piece of paper that you can either hold up a sign that says possible or a bit that says impossible, all right? Everybody got one? Not quite, almost. All right, this side of the room. We'll catch up. This is just a trial run. So let's have the first picture up. This is Matt Coombs with his fantastic specimen of a car. All right, so if I were to say to you, Matt Coombs' car can go 100 miles per hour, you've got to hold up whether you think it's possible or impossible, just so I can see. Okay. This side of the room, we got more impossibles than possibles. This side of the room, you've got a bit more faith, you guys. Most of you are saying possible. You guys over here, you don't want to play, do you? You just don't want to play. You will do. Okay, all right. So you get the idea. All right, so you guys, from pretty much impossible right the way through to possible. What about if I said, can Matt Coombs' car do... So 100 miles an hour, I reckon, downhill, with a good kind of wind behind him, easy. I reckon with a good wind behind him, he'd be able to get to 100 miles an hour. Don't you reckon? Possible. What if I said, can he do 1,000 miles per hour? What do you think? Impossible. Okay, absolutely. One or two saying possible. Okay, I like your faith. All right, here we go. So just a few, these are a few things I need to get your opinion on whether you think they're possible or impossible. First one, can a person say 637 words in 1 minute? Possible or impossible? What do you think? You think most of you, okay, the verdict is possible. Yes, you're right, it's possible. This guy on the screen, Steve Woodmore, he got a world record for saying 637 words in 1 minute. Next one, can a person lick his or her elbow? Is it possible or impossible? All right, this is kind of you guys 50-50. You guys think it's possible. The answer is it's impossible. You can't lick your own elbow. Lots of you are going to be trying that when you get home. Some of you are trying it now. Yeah, okay, well, you know you can lick someone else's elbow. That wasn't the challenge. It's can you lick your own elbow? Number three, can a person drive for 313 miles with the handbrake of their car on and the choke out? I'm not going to... Okay, what do you think? Possible or impossible? 313 miles with the handbrake on. Possible or impossible? Most of you think this one is possible. It is possible. And I'm not going to say whether it was a man or woman that did this, but the person's name was Julie Thorne, and it was in 1987. That's exactly what she did. Okay, next one. Can a person fold a piece of paper 8 times? Can you fold it, and then fold it again, and fold it again? Possible or impossible? What do you reckon? The engineers amongst you. Paul Evans, you should know better. You think it's possible? Okay, John Cooper's got it. It's impossible. Apparently, 7 times is the max. Okay, your wife, she's thinking, hold on, let's give this a try. You're going to do it, weren't you? Apparently, I haven't tested it, but that's statistically correct. All right, last couple. Can you... In actual fact, we'll just jump to the next one. Can a dead person live again? What do you think? Can a dead person live again? Possible or impossible? Okay. All right, that's good. We're going to do one more just for a little bit of fun, all right? We're going to come back to the can a dead person live again. One for a bit more fun. Let's just go back to the one before. Okay, we're going to see, is it possible for you to... Matt Coombs, would you just come up here a second as it's your birthday today? You didn't know that, some of you, did you? It's Matt's birthday. So here's the question. Is it possible or impossible for you to make a paper aeroplane out of your piece of paper and fly it straight at Matt? Is it possible that anybody would be able to hit him? Now, because of health and safety, whose was that? All right, Matt, would you just come and stand here on the stage? So make a pair of paper airplane as quick as you can. Obviously, those of you at the front, you've got a bit more chance than those at the back. What do we think? Is it impossible or possible? All right, not yet, Liz. Oh, that's my wife jumping the gun. Okay, on three, hopefully you've made your paper aeroplane. Matt, should we just get you on a chair? Just stand up here for us. That'd be better. Just, there you go. Just stand up here. There we go. Okay, possible or impossible? I'm going to watch very carefully and see if any of these actually hit Matt. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Oh! Oh! Okay, it's impossible. Good tries, but pretty much impossible. No. Yeah. Never seen you try. Did you get him? Okay. All right, we declare it possible. Give Matt a round of applause. Thank you, Matt. You're loving it, aren't you? Yeah, we'll bring your present at the end. It could be Sally Petit's Easter dance. We'll see. We'll see. All right, no more throwing things at Matt this week. Maybe we'll try again next week. So is it possible that somebody who is dead could come alive again? Well, a doctor might say it's impossible. But actually, God specialises in the impossible. Things that are impossible, God says, I can do those things. And the Easter story, it tells us that Jesus was arrested, he was crucified, he was killed on a cross, but then 3 days later, he rose to life. He appeared to hundreds of people. It's been recorded in history and is still alive today for those who choose to put their trust in him. And what people have been discovering, many people in this room, as around the world, it's the same. If the resurrection was possible, then it's possible for us to know real purpose in our lives, to know what our lives were made for, to really know who we are. If we matter this much to God, then actually our lives matter to him, and our purpose matters to him. There's a part of the Easter story that I want us just to think about for a few minutes this morning. And I want to pick this passage this morning because it speaks about what is possible when actually it seemed, when you first looked at it, to be completely impossible. It's the story of Mary Magdalene and another Mary making their way to the tomb. The tomb where Jesus had been laid dead, completely dead. Just touch the floor for a second if you can reach it. It's pretty cold, isn't it? After 3 days, Jesus' body would have been completely cold. He was dead. And these two women, they make their way to the tomb to prepare his body for burial. But what they discover was that God is the God of the impossible. Let's take a look at this. I'm going to read you a few verses from Matthew 28. That's so small, I'm really sorry. I will read it to you. I'm not going to read all of these verses. It begins like this. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. We'll jump down to verse 5. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. You know what's happened in between, right? The stone has been rolled away. And these two women, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. These two Marys, they had a job that needed to be done. Jesus' body had to be prepared for burial. Peter didn't offer to do it. Andrew didn't volunteer. The healed lepers, they were nowhere to be seen. So the two Marys, they decide to do it. And we don't know, but I wonder if halfway on this journey to the tomb, they sat down for a bit of a rest and a drink, and maybe they began to reconsider, is what we're doing completely crazy? What if they looked at each other and shrugged and said, what's the use? It's impossible. He's dead. The hope we had, it is gone. What if one of them kind of threw their arms up in the air in despair and just said, I'm on my own again. The hope I had of being loved, that I'd have a God alongside me every day of my life, it's gone. What's the point? What if they'd given up? We don't know, do we? We don't know actually whether they had that conversation on the way to the tomb. But we know something they didn't. We know the Father was watching. Mary and Mary thought they were alone. They weren't. They thought their journey was unnoticed. It wasn't. They were wrong. God knew. He was watching them every step they made on this journey towards the tomb. He was smiling at their hearts, thrilled at their devotion. And he had a surprise waiting for them, didn't he? This incredible surprise. They arrive and they find the stone, the tomb has been rolled away from the tomb. And an angel is there waiting to give them instructions of how they would meet the Jesus that they loved. So question for you, it's rhetorical, but you can think about it. Why did the angel move the stone? Who did he roll the stone away for? For Jesus? That's what I always thought. I assumed that the angel had moved the stone so that Jesus could come out from the tomb. But think about it for a second. Did God really need help? Was the God who conquered death so weak that he couldn't move a stone out of the way? I don't think so. The text, this Bible passage, actually gives the impression that Jesus was already out when the stone was moved. Listen to what the angel said. He comes to see the place where the Lord lay, past tense. And it seems that the stone was moved not for Jesus, but for who? For Mary. And Mary. For the women who put their trust in him and said, we'll keep on going. And for generations to come, for people like us. A symbol that says, with God, the impossible is possible. And the angel says to the women, go quickly, tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And Mary, they don't have to be asked twice, do they? They start running, energized by this thought of what seemed impossible. Maybe it was happening. So they run. But God isn't finished. And I love this part of this story. This is one of the Easter stories. I love this part of the story. Verse 9 and 10. As they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them. Hold on a second. Hadn't Jesus been given different instructions via the angel? Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. It's as if Jesus is saying, I can't wait any longer. They've believed that it's possible. And I want to be with them. I want to be where they are. And God does that for those who put their trust in him, like Dave and Jess have shared this morning. When we put our trust in him, the God of the possible, he meets us right where we are. Our lives exactly as they are. He meets us there. Sometimes in unexpected ways. Things that one day we would call impossible, we find ourselves calling possible. And maybe this morning you want to consider the possibility that God made you, loved you, died for you, and is living, risen again for you. Maybe this morning you want to consider the possibility, if this is true, that he has a purpose for your life that is way beyond anything you could create yourself. I want to tell you a traditional folk story. It speaks beautifully about the God of the possible, the possibility that Jesus could rise from the dead and by doing so, make it possible for us to know real purpose in our lives. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole world, and in my top three books of all time, this features in my top three. I love this book so much that I can't read it without crying, and so I've asked my wife to read it. Now, she might struggle to read it without crying as well, so we might need a plan C. Matt Coombs is worse than me and Liz put together. So, all right, maybe Judith, you could step in if Liz can't quite get through it. So Liz is going to come and read this story. There's going to be some images that will appear on the screen. It's up to you. If you're a visual thinker, you might want to look at the pictures on the screen, or you might want to just close your eyes and listen to the words of this story. A story where things that seem impossible become possible.
I have been practicing reading it at home so that I don't cry, actually. Okay. Once upon a mountaintop, three trees dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. I want to hold treasure, the first tree said. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the whole world. I want to be a strong sailing ship, the second tree said. I will be the strongest ship in the world. I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all, the third tree said. I want to grow so tall that when people look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. With a swoop of the first man's axe, the first tree fell. With a swish of the second man's axe, the second tree fell. With a slash of the third man's axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter's shop. But the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were built that day. Instead, the once strong tree was made into a simple fishing boat. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumberyard. What happened? The once tall tree wondered. All I ever wanted to do was point to God. Many, many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. And suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveller and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. When a storm arose, the second tree shuddered. But when the traveller stretched out his hand and said, "Peace," the storm stopped. And suddenly, the second tree knew he was carrying the King of heaven and earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the woodpile. She shivered when she was dragged through an angry crowd. She shuddered when a soldier nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. That was better than being the tallest tree in the world.
The truth is that Mary and Mary discovered something precious that we can discover too. That God is the God of the possible. He's a God who died and came back to life. Why? Because he loves us so much and has a purpose for our lives. And we want to take just a moment before we sing our last song of worship, just for some private reflection, really, where each of us, and before God, without any show in front of anybody else, we just have some space to say, God, perhaps you are the God of the impossible that becomes possible. And that'll mean different things for different ones in the room. We can turn away from God or we can turn to him. And we can say, God, you made me. You know me better than anybody else. And actually today I choose to trust you, that you're the God of the impossible. So let's just close our eyes. I want to pray especially this morning for those of us here who, just for the first time perhaps in our lives, and we want to just take that step. It's a simple step, but it's the most life-changing, one of the most profound things we can ever do, to say to the God who made us, I trust you, and I invite you to come into my life. So perhaps if you're in that place this morning, stay exactly where you are. You don't have to say anything out loud. But you could maybe just pray this prayer with me, and you could repeat it after me in your own mind, not out loud, just in your mind. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth. And you lived a perfect life of love. And you willingly went to the cross because you loved me. And I thank you, Jesus, that you didn't stay on the cross. You didn't stay dead. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose to life. And you bridged the gap between me and God. You made it possible for me to have purpose in my life. And so as a response, I say today that I trust you. I pray as much as I know how that you would come into my life. I pray that you would forgive me, wash me, and give me fresh purpose. And I pray that I will live my life with you rather than without you. I believe it's possible. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's lots of things that we need to trust God for, whether you've been a follower of Jesus for 50 years or more, or 5 weeks, or 25 seconds. I want to really encourage you this morning. If you've taken that step and you've said to Jesus, I want to trust you, God of the possible, for the first time, we would love to just have a chat with you about that and maybe explain a little bit more about what that step can mean in days and weeks to come. Matt and I will stick around here at the end. It may be you've come this morning, you've not been for a while, or you've been here for years and years, and there's something inside of you saying, God, I want to trust you again. And it could be for healing, could be for a broken relationship, could be for a job, could be a whole range of different things. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, oh my goodness, what a privilege it would be to pray for you. So again, just at the end, we're going to go through to the room after this final song. There'll be tea, coffee, biscuits. But if you want to stick around in this room, there's a bunch of us that would love just to come and chat with you and just take a minute to pray with you. So be brave, all right? If there's something you'd like somebody just to stand with you and pray with you, stick around at the end. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this final song, Oceans.